Hello, my name is Maggie Roberts. I'm the sick in chief. I'm not a white man, so I have to talk Indian. And she 1971 and she landed vote near Ratlet. Te go ya kuno suit kui en. Ai yenta tiki nai ai nai ki nai ta section ai nai tashkit e ha chana. So Masa chen mo chuvot ni rat le tak ni ron chik tak sa tak tak short en li. Ita en ai corporation ke da ita en ai le ra nan en chile ra no hun le la ken na ka e chik tak tak chik kui e sa en le ra ai tu ye yen ta tak tak bok Look on grunting, chowra, nans that I wrote on cheek to quee, as at none I entered for near atlas, I near on cheek. As at it took there, took it, taking and get the quee in Gasha, Gasha, cook era, he grew as his dick. Yaha Katie and I Katie and Kotazu Yaha and Jean Kutsakuch and Lisa that Sakra say that Sak Chukuk era he said mistake Ross. I could see that Sakuk era he. I had such a good could see in Chanisara Nazareth. That's so pretty.
Thank you. Can you translate that?
Oh.
It's on
that by you, young people like that.
That was Maggie Roberts. What she said was that in after the land claim settlement, in that settlement act, there, in order to benefit, is that we either by election, we either elect to take our former reserve land or participate in a regular land claim bill. But when that took place, that people elected to retain our former reserve. And she's happy that it was done that way, the results. And today, she said she feels free to do what she please on this land without any fear of interference from the outside. So she encouraged her people to keep on protecting our way of life in each community, to enforce the rules and regulations that was set forth.
My name is Jesse Williams. I'm from Vinitai. I'll tell what I remember about reservation. 1936 to 1940, I was young. I used to babysit when they have meeting for reservation. And I used to hate to babysit because they take too long. They have meeting from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. But I'm glad I babysat for them. It was important. I didn't know then, but I know now. They were smart for people that didn't go to school. I've been to school. I've been health aide for 27 years now. I'm still going to school. But I'm glad I have the reservation. Thank you.
My name is Don Wright. I've been a consultant to the Native Village of Vinitai Tribal Government since 1973. My wife Judy and I did considerable amount of the research in Washington, D.C. in the archives as to the historical background of the reservation. And it was our duty, instructed by the council, to look into the aspects of whatever type of government would best serve the tribe. And we looked into a borough form of government. We looked into their participating as corporations under state law. And we consulted with many of the tribal governments from the lower 48. We represented them in many meetings with the National Congress of American Indians and the National Tribal Chairman's Association. And the advice from tribes throughout the lower 48 and throughout Canada was very clear that the traditional government, the IRA government, was the best form of protection. And we were advised by many very strong Indian leaders across the United States to advise this tribe not to amend or change their constitution and bylaws in any way, because it was the strongest that it could be under the circumstances. And we reported this back to the tribe and they made their decision. I'd like to bring out a couple of points of the status as it exists today and what we're looking at in the future in regards to dealing on a government-to-government basis, the Venati tribe, the state of Alaska, subdivisions of the state of Alaska, such as boroughs, cities of Alaska, and the federal government itself. In the time since 1971, the federal government, through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Department of the Interior, Public Health Service, and other federal agencies, have chose to attempt to neglect the Alaska Native situation. The Native Land Claim Settlement Act was clear that all programs available to Indians anywhere in the United States would remain in effect and be available to all natives of Alaska. But administratively, it hasn't worked out that way. They tend to feel that Alaska got a big settlement and that we don't need the health care and we don't need the education and we don't need the potential for developing economically. And therefore, they have resisted pure, clear recognition of tribal governments in Alaska. And I think most of it is through ignorance. I don't think it's really malicious intent. I think it's through ignorance on the part of administrative people in the United States and in the state of Alaska. The tribe has attempted to deal with the state of Alaska, which it has the legislative authority to do, on a one-to-one basis, a government-to-government basis, and the state administrations since 1971 have refused to recognize the sovereign status, the tribal status of the Venati. They report in certain publications regularly. As an example, the latest publication from the Alaska Federation of Natives, financed by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, on the status of the land claims and the governments, they report that it's not clear that the Venati are a sovereign, independent people. But on the other hand, we have letters from the President of the United States and from the Commissioner of Indian Affairs and the Area Director that say we definitely are a tribal government. The Venati is definitely a tribal government and entitled to all of the immunities and all of the benefits of as any other tribe in the United States. So I think that the fact that these hearings are being held not by a government agency, not by the state of Alaska, not by the United States of America, but these hearings are being held independent on an international level is very significant. And I think that the things that you people have spoken of today will have a far-reaching effect in how our government, the United States, how the state government, and how other governments treat indigenous people. The council has asked me to introduce into the record at this hearing certain documents that they have accumulated over the years, which show exactly how they made their decision, the vote, Constitution and bylaws, their participation in the International Caribou Treaty. And so with your permission, I'd like to submit those for the record on behalf of the tribe at the close of the meeting.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
Kinji kaze kinjek salitsi ilya. Uh one must realize that we are being invaded by the Western world. We have to build some kind of a foundation that's solid, that will not crumble or beneath our children's feet. Some kind of a long-term relationship with the American government, state of Alaska, to get adjusted to the Western world, to have the power to balance between taxpayers and welfare. To give the education that our children need. The land, the entitlement of the land, is the best opportunity we've got. It's a land of a nourishment. It's not a desert. It's a land of natural resource. It's an important land to us. I wish I had more to say. I don't know what to say.
Well, you said that very well.
I'm Aaron Tritt from Arctic Village. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing I want to point out. Under the IRA form of government, which is, I said earlier, is the Howard and Wheeler Act. Mainly, it's addressed the ban of Indians or Indian tribes to govern themselves as they see fit, to use, to preserve their cultural and use the land as they see fit, and also to form a government. They also have bylaws, chartered articles, incorporation, and under the IRA organization, there are certain powers and other rules that are laid out in the Howard and Wheeler Act, which one of them is to be a tribe to be a sovereign, which was explained earlier that means mainly would serve as a public agency that would deal with federal government, state government, private firm as a public agency for the tribe. And if the state of Alaska cannot understand or see, we might be able to have to show them where to look. The tribe has taken a position where they could not distinguish any of their jurisdiction since they have obtained the land that they have applied for back in 1940, and when it laid out the form of government that they would have under the Howard and Wheeler Act, they feel that there should not be any changes by going along with some of the provision under Alaska Native Land Claim Bill. So that's one of the things that the tribe have made decision, and it is still today that they would use this document to govern themselves and deal with other government directly, direct relation with other government, as is, in, for instance, the state of Alaska.
Well, just before we adjourn the meeting, then, let me thank you all for speaking tonight. 25 people have testified, and it's been very helpful to me, and I do want to thank you all. I'm really glad we were able to come to Venati. This is the 50th village that we visited, and we are only going to go to about 10 more, so I'm glad we were able to come here before we finished our travels. So what you've said will be very helpful to me in reviewing the Alaska Land Claim Settlement and making recommendations for Alaska Natives and for Native people in other countries. And what you've said will be part of the permanent record of the Commission's proceedings, and the documents that Don Wright is going to be handing in will be included as part of the record of the Commission. So my thanks to you all again.
That land, I didn't get none over 25 and didn't get that museum. And that day when I attacked some record of that city, some colleague of Gotan or
newspaper
and we'll send you a copy of the transcript of everything that people said tonight, and I'll be sending you my report in the summer of 85. So thanks again.
Papers, eh, Don?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out some of the things that are...
Yeah.
Should be of interest. this is the symbol that finally got that they confirmed the status, you know, but it's all you need to get a recognition. And this is a letter the president's office, True Interior, we had written to Rick, and we had some of the questions and answers between the Secretary of State of the United States and the United Nations Secretary, and simply asking if the response of the State Department, the statute site is still active. This was his policy
of January 3rd.
Yeah. And then we wrote a letter to the state here. We wrote to the governor and asked him to look into some of these answers. We sent copies of the letters to the governor, every member of the legislature, and every member of the cabinet. We only got 2 or 3 answers back. But this one, that's for Senator Fairbank, is pretty interesting. I'd like you to read it.
Yeah,
what was the bias of the legislature?
Do I get playing that?
And then the FBI will be spotted, but very little thing. But anyway, what we asked in this was to have them recognize the tribe and negotiate with us on certain things, mutual interests, developments, so on and so forth. And then there's copies of the Constitution, and which I'm sure you've had before. And then this one is a position paper that we shared with Senator Jackson, hearing here on the territory. And it has just some historical documentation in the back as to the areas that the tribe here has worked and dealt with management games.
I'll read all this.
Also, in this letter to the governor, we send copies of all of the way that we changed the meetings we had, the vote when we dissolved the corporation. All of that is in
good.
And then there's also a claim that this whole, that dates back to 1950, where the Vena tribe had made a claim for additional land. It's right here. And they denied us a public hearing and said that if and when there is an encroachment, they would have a public hearing and decide on expanding the reservation. And this was a map before the expansion. It would have expanded the Arctic Village area by 2 million acres, the Canada area by 1 million acres. So what we did is when they wouldn't consider this, we sent all of this to Washington and to the Secretary of everyone else, and they wouldn't pay any attention to us. So we went ahead and issued a patent for that land from the tribal government, from the traditional government to the tribal government. And then we had it recorded
what was the date? 1979.
In the recorder's office. And one of my arguments has always been that the biggest problem the Indians had is they recognized that from everyone else. Anyway, then, after we did all that, we published it all in the newspaper. And so it's a public record, including the patents, including the tribal basic policy on taxation, that sort of thing. You can get a copy of one of the other factors.
Fascinating.
So I'd just like you to go over that, and if you have any questions at all, or interested in any other documentation you might have, this particular letter was to Senator Tula on an agricultural project that was federally funded, that they ruled out on us because they said that they would not deal with Indocide. Oh, I see.
With federal funds, they wanted to put an agricultural station north of the Arctic Circle. And they had a $10 million appropriation, and we offered the land for this experiment station for free. And this is a good agricultural area. Everything was in our favor. No other native group wanted it, but they wouldn't. They haven't even done it because they wouldn't deal with an Indian tribe. So we've got some problems with the state. They're not serious. They're just.
Well, that's good. Really, thank you very much. I'll read most of this going down on the plane tomorrow, but and I'm sure. Yeah.